We are studying the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And our theme verse, as you know, is Galatians 2:20. Galatians 2:20. Do you have that? Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I hope, again, that you'll be writing this verse down and memorizing it. This is our theme verse for this series. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Because Christ lives in our hearts, we can live a supernatural Christian life. It is impossible to live the life of love that God calls us to live without the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. But with the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, He enables us to live a supernatural life. The results of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts is love. Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There's a wonderful passage that talks about the life of love that God is calling us to live. It is impossible to live this supernatural life without the Holy Spirit. But since the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts, the supernatural life is possible. And there's a wonderful passage that talks about that supernatural, victorious Christian life. It is Romans chapter 12. Would you open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12:14. Romans 12:14. And stand with me, please, as we read the Word of God. Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Will you pray with me, please? Will you pray right now that God would open your heart, soften your heart, removing Satan's blinders from your eyes and make you good soil for the Word? Pray right now that the Word of God, the Holy Scriptures, would go down deep into your heart and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. You pray that right now. Would you pray now for the other people in this room? That the Holy Scriptures would go down deep into their hearts, that God would soften their hearts and open their hearts and make them good soil. That the Word of God would change their lives pray for the other people in this room right now. And now would you pray for me? That I would preach accurately and therefore powerfully. Lord, your word is so powerful. May I simply explain accurately what the Holy Spirit has said to the church. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Romans 12, 14 through 21 is our passage today, so you want to always keep your Bibles open to Romans 12, 14 through 21. Verse 14 says this, "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse." 1 Peter 3, 8 and 9, "Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers, be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." By the way, in your bulletin, you do have a note sheet. There's no blanks today. I've got a lot of scripture I want to share with you. I just want you to listen carefully to what the Holy Spirit is saying to you and write it down on the blank note sheet. This world is corrupted. The way of the corrupt world is this. When someone insults you, you insult back. When someone is unkind to you, you are unkind back. The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to rise above this behavior. The world can love those that love them. Any sinner can love people that love him, but it takes a Christian to love his enemies. We are called to bless those who persecute us, and the Holy Spirit will give us the power to do that. Luke chapter 6, 27. Would you turn there with me, please? Luke 6, 27. The beautiful words of Jesus. Luke 6:27. We read, these are the words of Jesus. "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because He is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." The corrupt world can love each other, but someone who is filled with the Holy Spirit can love their enemies. Our verse, Romans 12, 14, says, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." Bless is the Greek word eulogeo. Eulogeo. And it means to speak well of someone. What does it look like to bless those who curse you? What does that look like? We need a role model. We need to see someone doing it so we know what it looks like. And we have the perfect role model in Jesus Christ. On the cross, we read this in Luke 23. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." And they divide up his clothes by casting lots. Jesus blessed those that cursed him by praying for their forgiveness. Love your enemies. You say, "Pastor Dave, there is no way I can do that." You're right. It's impossible. But Christ did it. Christ does it. Christ can do it. And Christ lives in your heart. Not I, but Christ. Galatians 2:20, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." With Christ in your heart, you and I can live the supernatural life. I'll prove it to you. The scriptures record a human being, not Jesus, a human being like you and I doing the exact same thing. Please turn to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. In Acts 7, we have Stephen, and he's preaching, and he begins to rebuke the people. And we pick it up in Acts 7:51. "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you are just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. Was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you betrayed and murdered him. You who have received the law that was put into effect through angels but have not obeyed it." When they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth at him. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." At this, they covered their ears and yelled at the top of their voices. They all rushed at him, dragging him out of the city, and began to stone him. Meanwhile, the witnesses laid their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell on his knees and cried out, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he fell asleep. Just like Jesus. A human being just like me and you. But Christ lived in his heart, and he prayed for the forgiveness of his persecutors. With the Holy Spirit in your heart, you can love your enemies. Is anyone ever unkind to you? Do people say unkind things to you? Or do unkind things to you? The world is corrupted, and our corrupted, sinful response is to be unkind in return. The world not only repays evil for evil, but the world teaches us that repaying evil for evil is the correct response. The world teaches us that we are supposed to repay evil for evil. This is the blind leading the blind. Jesus teaches us to love our enemies. I hope you're still in Romans 12. Let's go to Romans 12 and let's do verse 15. Or Romans 12:15. Again, keep a bookmark there. We're obviously going to go to other passages, but you want to always stay there. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. We are a family. We are a family. Why was it that all of you were so happy yesterday? Because RG is my brother. Aisha is my sister. Ben and Lillian are my brother and sister. We are a family, and that was a Trinity Baptist Church rejoicing event. We are a family. If you are blessed, I am blessed. If you suffer, I suffer. We are a family. Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. If God blesses you, I should not be jealous or envious. And if you are suffering, I dare not be happy. Verse 16. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. We must remember how horribly corrupted we were and how undeserving we are of God's grace. We must remember how horribly corrupted we were and how undeserving we are of God's grace. If anyone has an excuse to be proud and thinking he is a better Christian than everyone else, it is the Apostle Paul. He wrote one-third of the New Testament. Now, if I wrote one-third of the New Testament, I might feel pretty good about myself. I might be proud. I probably would be. But Paul was humble. Paul was humble. Why? Why was Paul humble? He understood how sinful he was and how undeserving he was of God's amazing grace. We read in communion 1 Timothy chapter 1. Would you join me there, please? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Keep your place in Romans. We'll be there. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. This is the Apostle Paul. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul understood that he was a sinner saved by grace. If we can remember that we are sinners saved by grace, undeserving of God's favor, undeserving of God's forgiveness, we can love and honor people of low position. The fact of the matter is, some of the people in the most humble circumstances are the best Christians of all. The fact of the matter is, some of the people in the most humble circumstances are the best Christians of all. James chapter 2 teaches us this. James 2, 1 through 5, my brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in shabby clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, here's a good seat for you, but say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit on the floor by my feet, have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Look at verse 5. Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? The fact is, some of the people in the most humble circumstances are the best Christians of all. Verse 17 of Romans 12. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. We are all born damaged by sin. We all have heart disease. And the damage of sin means our heart does not function as it should. One symptom of this heart disease is returning evil for evil. We don't have to do it. We don't have to do it. We can enjoy the supernatural Christian life in the power of the Holy Spirit. Do not repay evil for evil. Paul gives us this command again in 1 Thessalonians 5, 14 and 15. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle. Encourage the timid. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always tries to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Does anyone in your family ever say or do something unkind to you? Your husband, your wife, your brother, your sister, your children? How do you respond? How about at work? Is a coworker ever unkind to you? How do you respond? How about at school? Is there ever anyone unkind to you at school? How do you respond? The Holy Spirit lives in your heart, and Christ will enable you to love them in return. And if you love them in return, you will bring honor and glory to Christ. Because, brothers and sisters, the most important thing is not how we are treated. The most important thing is that Christ is honored. In verse 17, Paul also says, be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. This is one of those verses that can be easily abused and pulled out of context. Paul is not saying that we should try to please everyone. The key word is the word right. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Right is the Greek word kalos. Kalos. It refers to an object that is good or beautiful. In this context, it's talking about actions that are morally excellent. We are to do what is morally excellent so that our lives may display the greatness of God. Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Verse 18 in our text. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. This is a great verse. Great verse. We are to be peacemakers. Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. But it is not always possible to be at peace with everyone, is it? It's not always possible. Why is it so hard to be at peace with everyone? Jesus told us that the world would hate us. John 15, 19. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you don't belong to the world. But I've chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Sometimes people are unwilling to make peace. You cannot control the attitudes and actions of other people, but you can control your own attitude and your own actions. We must confess and forsake anger, bitterness, and unforgiveness. We must confess and forsake anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. We must be willing to forgive. We, for our part, must be willing to make peace. Verse 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. Paul here is quoting an incredibly beautiful chapter, Deuteronomy 32. We're going to be surveying the whole Old Testament, and you will learn that Deuteronomy is called the second law. Leviticus is the first one, where Moses gives the law in Leviticus. And then in Deuteronomy, he's about to die. And he pours his heart out to the people, giving them the law a second time. Deuteronomy 32 is the song of Moses. The song of Moses. If you have time this afternoon, read Deuteronomy 32. God says to Israel, because you've forsaken me, I will turn you over to other nations. But don't worry, I will punish those other nations for their evil deeds. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Look at Deuteronomy 32, 34. Have I not kept this in reserve and sealed it in my vaults? It is mine to avenge, I will repay. In due time, their foot will slip, their day of disaster is near, and their doom rushes upon them. Beautiful chapter. Psalm 32, he says, other nations are gonna conquer you because you've turned away, but don't worry. I will avenge you. I will avenge you. Here's a question for you. Has anyone ever wronged you? Has anyone ever sinned against you? It is not your role to get them back, to make them pay, to punish them. That is not your role. That is God's. That's God's role. When we are tempted to get back at someone who sins against us, we must remember that we are sinners too. And we have received undeserved mercy and grace from God. What is your role? What is your role? When someone is unkind to you, when someone sins against you, what is your role? Verse 20 in our text. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. That's your role. The world believes that fighting back is an act of power. If you talk to the world, if you look at the world, if you learn from the world says if you are sinned against, if someone wrongs you and you rise up and fight back, you are the strong one. That's what the world says. And the truth of the matter is, it takes a lot more power to love your enemies than it does to get back at them. Proverbs 25, 21 and 22. If your enemy is hungry, give him food to eat. If he is thirsty, give him water to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Our role is not to get back at them or get revenge on them. That is God's job. Our role is to love them. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. In ancient Egypt, when someone had done something wrong and wanted to publicly display their repentance or their sorrow, they would carry a pan of burning coals on their head. Paul's point is that when we love our enemies, it heaps shame and guilt on them. When we love our enemies, it heaps shame and guilt on them. The motive for doing this is love. By making them feel guilty, we hope to lead them to repentance. If they do not repent, they will suffer the wrath of God for their sins. You don't need to do anything. But wouldn't it be great if when you were wronged, you loved them, you fed them, you forgave them, you blessed them, you gave them something to drink. You heaped the guilt of shame on their heads, and as a result, they were convicted of their sin and they trusted Christ as Savior. That's what we are to do. Because the most important thing is not how we are treated. The most important thing is that God is glorified. Verse 21 is our last one. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Paul says, do not be overcome by evil. When evil is done to you, and you respond with evil, you have been overcome by evil. We are not to be overcome by evil, but we are to overcome evil with good. When evil is done to you, and you bless in return, you have overcome evil with good, and you have glorified God. Will you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we cannot do this without the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And I pray that in the power of the Holy Spirit, we could love our enemies and display the greatness of God. In Jesus' name, amen.